Well, give us some suggestions. If you don't like something, let us know.
Oh, you know I will.
It's lunchtime at the Garf, the Garfield Eatery and Coffee. The restaurant sits on a block of Shelby Street that has seen better days. Neighbors are excited about the Garf opening. Now they have a place to get coffee before work or take their family for brunch. Dan Sassano and his husband and business partner David Sanchez have lived in Garfield Park for 10 years, working jobs in other parts of town. They didn't really feel part of the neighborhood until after their son Santi was born 3 years ago.
Are you silly boy?
Yeah.
Dan and David had a light bulb moment when they volunteered at the neighborhood's Better Block event last October. That's a kind of a street fair where neighbors turn an underutilized area into a bustling fun zone with music and pop-up shops. Soon after, they decided to open the Garf. Now Dan says he and David are looking forward to watching Santi grow up in Garfield Park.
Even just watching our little guy in the restaurant, I want that for other families. I want this to be a gathering place for the neighborhood.
For Neighborhood Association President Jim Simmons, the opening of the Garf is part of a greater vision to get the neighborhood back to the kind of place it was when he was young.
In 1957, when I graduated from grade school, there were 33 businesses in and around the intersection of Raymond and Shelby, the main intersection in town. And of those 33, 31 of them were locally owned businesses.
Of those 31 local businesses, only a hardware store is left. So these days, Jim's focused on finding tenants for a dozen empty and for sale storefronts on Shelby Street. He's asked each board member at the association to form a relationship with the owner of a vacant commercial property.
We do that for two reasons. One, to try to repopulate those empty buildings, but also to gain some measure of, if not control, at least knowledge of what's going to happen with those buildings.
But the Neighborhood Association doesn't want just any development. Earlier this year, they fought the opening of a charter school at the site of an old tanning salon on Shelby Street.
There's a long list of businesses we would be happy to have there. It's just that the charter school wasn't on that list.
I think a potential to become a true anchor in the neighborhood was there.
Derek Graves works for a nonprofit called Responsive Education. He was the man behind the plan to open a school, and he had approval from the Indiana Charter School Board. The school was meant to serve a specific population, high school dropouts and kids at risk of dropping out. Responsive Ed operates 30 such schools in Texas and Arkansas. They call them premier high schools. His decision to rent the building in a commercial development just south of where Shelby crosses Raymond Street was strategic. It's in a densely populated area and it's visible from the highway. It was also sentimental. Like Simmons, Graves grew up on the south side.
We also thought that by being in that area, we could keep families in the area as opposed to just saying, well, you know, I have a high school student. He's not being serviced effectively in his local school. We need to move to a township. We thought, hey, we can bring a premier in and give them another option where they could feel more comfortable in a smaller environment.
According to Jim Simmons, if a school had opened near the corner of Shelby and Raymond, an already dangerous traffic situation would have become worse. In a 2010 state report, Raymond and Shelby was rated among the top 5% worst intersections for safety in Indiana.
This dropout recovery school was going to bring in dozens and dozens of cars every day. If students were being dropped off, it meant in and out twice a day.
But Graves said Responsive Ed had a plan. There would be no school buses. Only juniors and seniors would be allowed to park. And knowing the population, many wouldn't even have cars.
I also offered to start our school day 30 minutes later than traditional. We usually start at 8 o'clock. I proposed 8:30 or 8:45 start to get past the morning rush hour. We proposed to dismiss earlier if possible or do a staggered dismissal. We'd reimburse students who took the bus. And then you have students that walk.
The Neighborhood Association and their city councilor approached the state charter school board with their concerns about traffic. In the end, Responsive Ed withdrew the lease and asked the state for another year to find a new location. Maybe it was just bad timing. The city has been planning for years to make that intersection safer, and work is scheduled to start next spring. So if the traffic situation would have been improved in a few months, did the neighborhood miss out on an opportunity to help struggling kids finish high school? Jim Simmons says there are other locations in the area that could better accommodate a new school.
The other thing is, less than a mile from where we're sitting is Crystal House Academy. And Crystal House has a DOORS program, a dropout recovery program, run by a young lady, in fact, who's originally from the neighborhood.
But as Derek Graves is quick to point out, the Crystal House program enrolls only adults. The responsive ed school would have served teenagers.
It didn't work out, and that's fine, but I'm not giving up on the South Side yet.
Derek is now looking for that new South Side location and planning to open a school next year. Jim's looking forward to two more businesses opening soon on Shelby Street, a bicycle shop and a pizzeria.
Tom Batista, the owner of Bluebeard, arguably the hottest restaurant in town and best, Tom has bought the old Pasquale's Pizza and is going to rehab that building and bring the best pizza in town to our neighborhood. So there are pluses, and we just have to stay at it.
And at the Garf, business is slowly picking up steam. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Andrea Maraskin.